So we talked about Jesus, of course, last week, and this is the time of Lent, and we're supposed to be sour and dour, right? No, we're not going to be. We're not even going to really. But for me, it was when Lent is a time where Jesus decides that it's time. He's been preaching for 3 years now. He's got quite a following. He can go out and he can have 5,000 people show up in the middle of the desert, and he feeds them miraculously, right? And you think 5,000, then he goes over and he feeds 4,000. Wherever he goes, people are following him. He gets in a boat and he sails across the Sea of Galilee, gets to the other side, and there's people, they run around and they meet him there, and he can't get away from people. His popularity is, he's popular because he does something for them. They want something from him. They want healing. Or they want the demons taken away. But and the other half want to kill him, right? Consider him a blasphemer, claiming to be the Son of God. And we say, which is it? Do we want something from Jesus, or do we want to kill him? What do we want? He can't even go to a place like Phoenicia, which is where the place of the Gentiles. He goes there, and there are people recognize him for who he is, and they run up to him and say, heal my daughter. He says, no, I didn't come for you. I came for Israel. And they said, please. And she begs, right? Because please heal my daughter. And he does. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. And if you want to start a religion, would you know the Bible's true? Because the disciples look like idiots, don't they? You would, if you're writing a story, you'd say, boy, the disciples were wonderful. They were so smart. They figured it out. But no, they're dummies. Because he's saying, listen, don't listen to the Pharisees. Don't let their philosophies poison you. Don't beware of their yeast. And they're like, is it because we forgot to bring bread again? No, it's not about bread, you knuckleheads. It's about their philosophy. Be on guard. So he's got to get away. He's been doing this for 3 years. He can't go anywhere. There's too many crowds. It's time. Do you see that? This is the time. He's got to complete his mission. He's done it. All they wanted to see miracles. They want to see signs in heaven, the Pharisees say. Why don't you put something on across the sky? We've seen how you can feed the thousands and you can raise the dead, but we want to see something else. He says, the only thing you're going to see is a sign of Jonah, right? 3 days, and then I'll rise. That's what I'm going to show you. He's got to get away. And we saw last week he went to that place up there in Caesarea Philippi, and there's the Temple of Zeus and a temple to Caesar, and there's Jewish temples, and there's temples to Pan, and there's temples to Baal. There's all these different gods. Choose yours. Take your pick. Who do you want to worship today? You want to worship me, a lonely carpenter? No. They're like, yes, they want to worship you. On the back of your bulletin, if you notice, my habit, last week was, we saw the gates of hell, Jesus says, and take a look at the pictures. Today we're going to talk about the transfiguration in a minute. I was supposed to do it a couple weeks ago, but it didn't fit, because see, Jesus now, he's up at Caesarea Philippi, and the people, he asked his disciples, who do you think I am? And some people said, you're John the Baptist, or you're Elijah, or you're Jeremiah. Well, who do you think I am, Peter? And Peter says, you are the Christ. You get it now, right? You understand who I am. I am the Messiah. But don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone yet. So they need to get away. And where do they go? They go to a mountain, a lonely mountain. And did you know that's the ski resort I was telling you about? This is in Lebanon. There's a mountain. It's called Mount Hermon. It's a beautiful mountain. Below it is the mountain called Mount Tabor. So where did Jesus go after he left Caesarea Philippi? There's much debate. I think he went to the ski resort, don't you? Because why would he go to Mount Tabor? You know what's on top of Mount Tabor when he got there? It was a fortress. He wouldn't go there, would he? He would go to where he could get away. They leave this place called Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus explains to his disciples what his mission is. The time has come. For 3 years I've been teaching you, and you all don't quite get it. I have to show you what I'm here to do. He says, I have to go to Jerusalem and I have to die. And Peter says, never. We're not going to let it happen. We're going to stand before you and those. We're going to fight for you. Because you're the Messiah. You're going to get it. They've been living under Roman oppression for so long. They've been paying excessive taxes and they've had enough. And they want this the Messiah, the anointed one sent from God to free them from this. And we can't let you die. You don't understand why I came. He says, get behind me, Satan. He calls Peter Satan. That must be pretty hard to take. Jesus calls you Satan. Satan, the name means the adversary. You mean the ones against me. You don't get it, Peter. Get behind me. Follow me, right? We just sang that song. Are we going to follow Jesus? Follow me. You want to be my disciple? You got to deny yourself. I hate to deny myself. We bought 18 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. We didn't deny ourselves nothing. And those new lemon ones are really good. And then we eat scones and we eat fried fish. And I had pulled pork the other day. I don't want to deny myself much. He's not talking about that. Take up your cross and follow me. You want to save your life? You're going to lose it. What's important to you, Peter, and the disciples? What's important? And we've heard this before. What good it will be for someone to gain the whole world, yet they forfeit their soul. What can you exchange for your soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with all his angels, and he will reward each person for what they have done. Uh-oh. He's going to reward us for what we've done. Are we keeping tally? How much good can we do? Is there enough? Can we buy our way into heaven? Absolutely not. Will be our deeds? He's counting them. We better do some good things. But it's our faith in him that's going to get us there. Jim Jones was converted by this next line. You remember it, Amanda. Truly I tell you, he said, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Jim Jones told us that story so many times. He was in a car accident. And he was lying in the hospital. He thought he was going to die. And a woman came in, and her name was Hallelujah Brown. Remember the story? You remember how many times. Hallelujah Brown came in. Said, Jim, I got to tell you something. Because Jim wasn't quite sure if he was going to follow Christ. His dad was a preacher, right? And he wasn't sure what he was going to do. But there he was. He was in a terrible car accident. He was working in a head shop, as he called it, a place that sold bongs and marijuana paraphernalia. Jim Jones working there. He's in a car accident. He saw death. Hallelujah Brown comes up and sits next to him and says that quote, reads the Bible, that verse. It was actually from Mark 1, chapter 9, excuse me, yeah, verse 1. I tell you, there's some who are standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God coming. Jim Jones did not taste death before he saw the kingdom of God. So what's Jesus going to do now? He needs some affirmation. He knows he's got to go to die. He knows he's got to do it. So what's he going to do? After 6 days of being in that area, taking that little vacation, he takes Peter and James and John, the brother of James, and they lead him up to a high mountain. They go by themselves. They fall asleep, so it may have been night. And there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. What does that even mean? You've been around, and you understand the transfiguration. Every time I read it, we kind of skip it, don't we? What's it really? We've seen pictures, and he's all white. He's flying in the air. There's two people next to him. Who are they? Moses and Elijah. They show up. And Peter said to them, hey, this is a good place to be. Look at this. Look what we're watching. We're on top of this cool mountain that's covered with snow, and Jesus is rising up, and he's white, and he's what is this? The Greek word that's a metamorphosis. It's a change, right? He's changing. What's happening? Moses and Elijah are there. And Peter says, it's good to be here. Let's build some cabins and stay here for a while. Because it's kind of safe and nice up here, isn't it? We're on the side of a mountain. Let's build some shelters and live here. Because tomorrow we got to go face reality, don't we? Got to love a Sunday, right? We get to take it easy today and sit around in our pajamas. When I leave here, I'm going to the nail salon. Not kidding. I'm getting a pedicure today, Fran. You ever have one?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness. Remember I told you how good the foot rubs were? Imagine paying this woman $25. She only wants $25. I get a little bathtub for my feet. I sit there, watch TV, and I read Vogue magazine or something. And it smells good. There's so much perfume in there. And I sit there, and after like 15 minutes, and oh, I'm in that massage chair. It's $25, you know? And then she gets out a cheese grater, and she rubs it on my feet and gets all the chunks off and goes underneath the toes. $25. You feel so good when you leave. You want to go with us? We'll do you a couple thing. We're going at 1:30 today. And they'll paint your nails, which I've never done. That's a few dollars extra, you know. And seriously, 1:30 today, up there on Kirkwood Highway. It's awesome. She doesn't speak English. I don't speak Vietnamese. We're like star-crossed, isn't it? You know, nothing to say. True. Makes my feet feel better. My shoes feel. This is a good place to be. We should just stay here. And I think, what you think of the two famous people who are with him, Moses and Elijah, and why are those two picked? I often wonder. And because Moses was the bringer of the law, right? He brought the law. And Elijah was the greatest prophet of all time, right? I think Isaiah was the better prophet if we're comparing them. But Elijah's the one that is to come. At the end of Malachi, God says, I'm going to send Elijah on that day. One day Elijah will be coming, and then you know the kingdom of heaven. He'll be the forerunner. But God does things his way, right? We think, we know that the Jewish people, at every Friday night when they sat down for Shabbat, when the Sabbath came, they have dinner together, and there was one seat left open for Elijah for when he comes. The question is, will we recognize him when Elijah comes? The answer is, of course not. So there's Jesus, and he's white, and he's glowing. And Peter's all happy. He wants to stay there forever. And then they see a big white cloud come. God comes in his glory, and a voice from heaven says, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. We've seen this before. It is baptism, right? When the Spirit of God came down in a dove and said, this is my son, whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Disciples heard this, and they were terrified, and they fell to the ground because they know it's the voice of God. And we've seen God come in a bright cloud before, and when he led the people out of Egypt, a bright cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night. And we were on the mountain of God. There he was in the cloud over the mountain. And the people were terrified then, and they said, you know what? We don't want to see God anymore. How about Moses? You go talk to him. We'll send Moses, and we'll hang out here. Down here at the bottom of the hill, and we'll have a party, right? What will we do? Surely we won't get in any trouble when God and Moses are talking, right? We'll behave ourselves. Did they, Bob? No. They didn't behave themselves, did they? They got a little crazy. They got a little, it says revelry. What kind of revelry were they doing? Enough to be slaughtered, right? They were doing something wrong. They were worshiping another God. They made their own. They were dancing and singing. And what else? You know, in front of God, they were doing this. And Jesus says, get up, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of God. And seeing Moses and Elijah, it's terrifying. Don't be afraid, and don't tell anyone what you've seen until I've been raised from the dead. The disciples are confused, aren't they? They have questions. They saw Elijah. The disciples ask Jesus, why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? They haven't seen him yet. Jesus says, you have seen him. You've seen him. He says here in verse 12, but I tell you, Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him, as we always do. We always fail to recognize those sent from God. We even kill the prophets in the temple. But they have done everything that they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then they get it, right? They saw that John the Baptist, he came proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. He was the one that said, make straight the ways of the Lord. And he was beheaded. Then the disciples understood what they were talking about, John the Baptist. One of the criticisms of my sharing the message I've heard from folks is they want a call to action. And I don't give it. Because I'm not going to tell you all how to live your lives. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I've sat in a church where the preacher told us, you need to give more money, you need to do this, you need to listen to me, you need to do all these things. Boy, anyone like that? Unless you all know, it's call to act, what should I tell you to do? Here's one thing, it's the same thing. What was I called to do Monday, Tuesday night at County Council? I was called to pray. Not give my opinion on should there be more funding for teachers. There should be. But I'm not the one. It's not my job to say that. Again, or this zoning thing. I wasn't there to protest any zoning. Not my job. My job is to tell you to pray more. Do you pray every day? Do you read the scripture every day? Do you read the scripture every day? If you don't, you need to read. The best thing ever happened to me was when my wife got a job in Wilmington because we had to get up early, remember? Because you can't lay in bed when your wife's getting up early, right? Who's with me? You got to get up. She doesn't get up, you got to get up together. Right, Robbie? She was up there 10 minutes before, you know. No, you get up too. Do you? No. You don't get up together? How about you two? You get up together?
Yes.
Oh, see? See?
I'm tired.
It's 8 o'clock, but it's still together. So I would get up, and what am I going to do with my spare time? Because Johnny Lowe, who remembers Johnny Lowe? You remember Johnny. You know everybody, right? Remember Johnny Lowe? Top cop, FCA. Johnny's like, you read the Bible every day? I'm like, no, I don't even own a Bible. Nevertheless, read it every day. I don't have any time, Johnny. You know what Johnny told me? I'll get up earlier. And you know what happened? A week later, my wife got a job. She had to get up at 5 o'clock, so I got up. I made sure I packed her lunch and I made her breakfast. And I still do. And guess what? I had time. And I started reading the Bible because my mother bought me one. I always bring it, but I didn't bring it today. My mother bought me a Bible. But before that, Tom Connolly, you know him, his mother gave me a Bible. She goes, here, read this one. And I gave it back to her to give to someone else because my mom gave me the Word of God. And it changed things because I actually started to read it. And guess what? I would sit in the pew and then finally I wanted to share what I knew. And who could I share it with? Kids. Because no one's teaching fifth grade. For 2 years, we didn't have a fifth grade teacher. And there was a sign up on the teleprompter. We need a fifth grade teacher. Why? And I thought to myself, why doesn't somebody do that? So Amanda and I taught the kids fifth grade. It changes everything. And then the kids would ask me questions about the Bible. And I didn't know them. So I figured I better read it. And I kept reading and things changed. And it made more sense because I'm a common sense kind of guy. I think I'm very worldly, you know. I'm of this world, and I think there should be a reason for everything, and I'm logical. And you want me to believe in this? Yes, because it's logical, right? With a word, God created the universe, with just a word. And what does the scientist say? All of a sudden, he was there. Like someone said a word. And it was there, and it's moving, right? So what's the call to action today for you? I don't have one. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, Rita. I'm going to tell you to read the Bible, though, every day. We're going to pray together. I'm going to tell you we need to pray more. We need to pray before we go into battle at a county council meeting, don't we? We pray. We pray for those up on the board. We pray for those in the seats. We're praying for the children who are going to benefit from this. We pray for one another every day. That's all I have to offer. Would you pray with me? Father, we don't quite understand this confusing scene. We understand that it was time. Your son, he was at the height of his celebrity, and it's going to get even more. He's going to be even more famous when he walks into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. The streets are going to be lined with people saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, calling him the King of the Jews, and that he's the one here to save us. It's not going to be unnoticed. Enemies will be abounding from every side, from the Romans to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and to King Herod, and all. Everyone's going to be against him. His own disciples are going to, no one's going to turn against him, is going to betray him. But Jesus is going to pray about what to do. He seeks the Father's approval for what is going to happen next. Do I go to Jerusalem? The Father says yes. And he sits in the garden. And he says, should I go to the cross? And the Father says yes. Obey me, my son. In your prayers, listen to me. Obey me. Go to the cross. Save my people. Endure my wrath so they don't have to endure it. Drink the cup so they don't have to drink that cup. They get the cup of the new covenant. They drink from the cup, not of my judgment, but of my love. That is the offer. That's the charity that we need to accept. It's free. Some we're too proud, but it's free, and we just need to say yes to it. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Bible that we need to read each and every day. Sit down, take time to be with you. Let you into our lives. Show us the way we're supposed to go. Lead us so that we can follow you. Follow you to eternal life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray together. We say, Amen.